A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now, I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. At the Last Supper, on the night before he died, in his final priestly prayer, Jesus, from the bottom of his heart, called out to the Father, "That they all may be one, Father, as you and I are one, that they all may be one in us, that the world may know that you sent me." Well, 100 years ago, in New York on the Hudson in Garrison, a small community of Episcopalians who were Franciscans, they felt that longing of the heart of Jesus in their community. They were longing that all may be one, just as Jesus had been longing that all may be one. And they began to pray. From the 18th of January to the 25th of January, an octave of 8 days for the unity of Christians, that all may be one. They weren't praying for 2 years when they presented themselves to the Pope to be received into the church. But they brought the seed of longing for unity with them, because the Pope then took that prayer of unity that they brought with them and gave it to the whole church. And we've been praying that way now for 100 years, during the 18th and the 25th of January, the prayer for Christian unity, that we all may be one as the Lord and his Father and the Holy Spirit are one, that we all may be one. Enormous progress has been made in 100 years. Enormous progress. Couldn't have dreamed of the progress that's been made in 100 years. Thanks be to God. The theologians, the historians, the liturgists, all working at it. Intermarriage accomplished so much of it. Many things, many things. But surely, in our country, the biggest boost to ecumenism was given by the civil rights movement and the leadership of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a Baptist minister who studied in a Methodist Episcopal College in Boston, Boston University, who had a colossal effect on the whole Christian community. I've heard, I can't verify it, that there's a movie out, Nuns at Selma. I don't know whether that's, if there isn't a movie of that nature out, there should be one out. Because the greatest moment of Dr. King's life was at Selma. And all the pictures you'll see of Selma are sprinkled with what young Catholics today would not probably recognize as the sisters, the nuns of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. They hadn't taken off the habits yet. They were all in their habits, the Sisters of St. Joseph, the Sisters of Mercy, the Sisters of Notre Dame, the Sisters of the Ursuline Nuns. All, you'd think it was, well, don't exaggerate, but there were an awful lot of nuns in the front lines of these marches. Now, you don't get the enormity of that ecumenical pull until you realize that we had no experience of nuns except in the convents and in the schools. They didn't go to their mother and father's funeral in some cases. They lived in convents. That's what, see the nuns out of the convents, like seeing the whales out of the water, that belong in the convents. And they're all down in Selma, Alabama, answering the call of the Baptist minister. That's a new ecumenical age, leaping over centuries of misunderstanding, and in some cases, hatred. Even those who don't understand Dr. King, don't love Dr. King, don't have any admiration for Dr. King, they still should celebrate his holiday as faithful Americans. Grateful to him for preventing another civil war. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ from the bottom of his heart, and he interpreted the gospel the way Mahatma Gandhi interpreted the gospel, nonviolence. He called this colossal army that was in his wake, that answered his call to nonviolence in the spirit of Jesus. And he never deviated. He may have other weaknesses and failed in other ways, but from the violent, nonviolent gospel, never to retaliate. You must love your enemies. You must pray for those who persecute you. You must do good to those who hurt you. That's how you show yourselves to be the children of God. God gave us one great, many favors in Dr. King. But one great favor God gave us in the life and death of Dr. King was because there were always going to be people who wouldn't like him, who wouldn't like what he did, who hated what he stands for and all that. There are always going to be those. But you know, you can judge a man by how he lives, but you can judge him better sometimes by how he dies. Dr. King was one of the most honored men in our time. In his own time, he was technically a legend in his own time. That you don't very often see, but we saw it right before our eyes. He was a legend in his own time. He was a true celebrity. He was the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, and all the universities were in competition with one another to give him honorary degrees. So you'd never miss the point. He died in a rundown hotel in Memphis, Tennessee, on the balcony with a couple of his friends. Where he went to help the garbage collectors in a labor dispute. He was the genuine article and a great gift to his people and to our nation and to the church. in its ecumenical efforts to grow in response to the prayer of our Lord Jesus, who at the Last Supper, that they all may be one. What a leap forward we took together under the aegis and guidance of Dr. King. There's only one thing that could explain all those nuns going out of the convent and rushing down to Selma. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. It was the gospel they heard. In the gospel reading today, John the Baptist said, "At first I didn't know him." Twice they said, "At first I didn't know him. But then I realized this is the one who was to come after me, who was placed before me, who existed from the beginning. Now I have seen and I testify, he is the Son of God." That's who Dr. King represented. That's who the nuns heard speaking. That's whom he called the church to attend to. It was a great moment in the life of the nation and in the life of the church's ecumenical efforts. We grew by leaps and bounds with our eye on the Lord Jesus, not on ourselves, not on what separates us, but what unites us. We were able to give thanks for what did unite us and to hope together, to grow together along the same lines.